We're going to have a family meeting today. Family meeting. Welcome to the living room. Heavenly Father, just pray for your Holy Spirit to guide us into Word this morning. Teach us in a way that would bring understanding to us about how you care for your people, Lord. You watch over us and you guide us and you direct us. And I pray for the ability to communicate my heart this morning with your people here in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I want you to turn to Psalm 23, or you can watch it up there, but there's a really beautiful beginning of what's called the Lord is my shepherd. It's a psalm that many people are familiar with. I just want to focus for a minute on that very first line. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. You believe that? The Lord is my shepherd. Who is my shepherd? Jesus. And when he is, when you understand that, you have everything you need. If you need something, where do you go? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I just love that verse. It's something you ought to just print that out and stick it somewhere to remind you every day that he is my shepherd and I have everything I want. I want to read a little bit about Jesus being the good shepherd. In John 10, verse 11, it says, I am the good shepherd. These are the words of Jesus. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. Amen. A bad shepherd runs away when danger comes, but a good shepherd actually sacrifices his life, which is what Jesus did when he died on the cross. He said, I am the good shepherd. Later on in that chapter, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep. It's good that the sheep are known by the shepherd, right? You want to make sure that when the shepherd's walking around in the field and he looks over, he goes, there's one of mine and there's one of mine. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me. There's this kind of a reciprocal relationship. Jesus knows us, but we know him. If he's your shepherd, you know him. That's, to me, that's one of the, if you want to call them earmark or things that makes a Christian, is you know Jesus. Now, you may just be learning about him, but you know him. I go out and I talk to people in the streets often, many, many people I talk to. And sometimes you meet a person and they'll say, I know the Lord. And you know, as soon as you hear him say that they know him. There's just something about that guy knows Jesus or that girl knows Jesus. And then sometimes people will say, oh yeah, me and the man upstairs. You wonder, do they really know him? But he knows his sheep and his sheep know him. And there's just a connection there when you meet a fellow sheep. It's like they know him too. It's exciting to see that. Later on in John 10, he says, my sheep listen to my voice. You know, it's not enough just to be known by him. You know, my sheep listen to my voice. It's important as men and women of God, as sheep of the Lord, that we spend time in prayer and learn to hear his voice, but then actually listen to it. You know, the word listen here actually means to pay attention and obey. Like my dad used to say, listen to what I'm saying. Now, what is he saying when he says that? He's not just saying that you physically hear what I'm saying. He's saying, pay attention and do what I'm telling you. That's what this word really means. My sheep, listen to my voice. I know them. And then what's it say? They follow me. And so listening to his voice and knowing him, I'll tell you what, when you know Jesus, you want to hear his voice. Sometimes people are afraid of hearing the voice of Jesus because what might he tell me? Is he going to send me to Africa? Listen, when you know him, there's a comfort there. He's the good shepherd. He's going to lay his life down. He always has your best interest in store. And so he tells us, listen to my voice. I know them and they actually follow me. And then what he says here is, I give them eternal life. If you're a sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have eternal life. eternal life. That means it's never going to end. Well, what if we die? That's not life. This here is sort of like a, I don't know what you want to call it. There's kind of a life here, but there's eternal life that's, you never die. It's kind of like when you die, you step through a curtain into true life. The Bible actually talks about death being swallowed up by life. That's how Paul talked about it. I was swallowed up by life. So the next time you see a sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ dying, you can walk over to that casket and say, you know what? They were just swallowed up by life. That's what happened. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him would never perish, but have eternal life. For those who are his sheep, eternal life is yours. If you're not his sheep, then you will perish. And that's why we have such a mandate upon us as the Church of Jesus Christ to go create other sheep. You know what sheep produce? Sheep. Sheep produce sheep. So how many here is a sheep? It's time to reproduce. Sheep reproduce sheep. No one can snatch them away from me. You know what? Nobody can take you away from Jesus. Nobody can. For my Father has given them to me, and he's more powerful than anyone else. Amen? He is more powerful. No one can snatch them from the Father's hands. 1 Peter 2, he personally carried our sins. When it talked about the good shepherd sacrifices his life, this is what he did. He personally carried our sins. Think of all the sins you've ever committed, and maybe the ones you haven't yet committed, but you still have time on the planet to do them. He personally carried our sins. That's awesome. Think about it. How can you have a greater shepherd than one who would carry my sin? He carried our sin in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin. In a way, he carried it away from us so we can say, that's not me anymore. I don't want to live that way. He carried my sin in his own body that we may be dead to sin and live for what is right. You see, when Jesus becomes our shepherd, it also changes the direction of my life. I'm no longer given towards sin, but I'm starting to live for what's right because of this shepherd's influence in my life. By his wounds, you are healed. That word healed is the Greek word. It is the word sozo. It just means to be healed, to be whole, to be made healthy. It has to do with physical, emotional, and even spiritual healing. It's just like full-blown restoration. By his wounds, you are healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away. How many were like that before? But now you have turned, and here's what he calls Jesus, the shepherd and the guardian of your soul. Jesus is my shepherd, and he is the guardian of my soul. No greater shepherd than Jesus. He's the good shepherd, he's the great shepherd, and he's also called the chief shepherd, if you use the King James Version of the Bible. Once I was a sheep who wandered, but I turned to the shepherd. And I hope you have. If you haven't, today's your day. Today's your day to say, I've been wandering. I've been a sheep wandering in the wilderness, and I need to turn to the shepherd and the guardian of my soul. He watches over me. You know, you heard that song, My Eye is on the Sparrow, or His Eye is on the Sparrow. He knows every bird that falls. He knows every hair on your head. He watches over you. He's the guardian of your soul. That inner part of you that is so beaten up by this world around us, he is the guardian of your soul. You need some help in your soul today? Turn to the shepherd. Turn to the shepherd and the guardian of your soul. In John 21, Peter, you know, he denied the Lord three times, and Jesus was trying to win him back. And when he came to him, Jesus at breakfast asked Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know I love you. Then feed my lambs." See, Jesus, not only is he the good shepherd and the great shepherd and the chief shepherd, but he also calls people to help take care of him. And so he tells Peter, "Do you really love me? Then I want you to care for the things that I care for. And that is, feed my lambs." "Well, I thought you were the shepherd." "I am, but I am the great shepherd, the good shepherd, and the chief shepherd. But Peter, I want you to feed my lambs." And so Jesus told him that. And then Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep." It's really interesting to me, and it's an amazing thing that Jesus would actually take people, human beings, like Peter, and he was kind of a goofball, if you read the stories. He wasn't all that sharp. But Jesus took that man and said, "I want you to feed my sheep, and I want you to shepherd my sheep." It's amazing that God would take human beings who themselves were sheep wandering in the wilderness and say, "Hey, I want you to help feed my sheep. I care for them. I am the shepherd and the guardian of their soul, but take care of them." Third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. And he said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." So I want to lay this out today, because we are always under the care of Jesus. He is the shepherd. Nobody loves you more than him. Nobody cares for you more than him. Nobody else died for you. But somehow in his wisdom and his choices, he says, "I want people to also care for my flock." And for many years, most of my adult life, I've had that privilege. God has used me to help care for his flock and to feed his flock. And we're coming to a place in our life of our church where there's going to be a transition in pastoral leadership. And I want to talk to you about that and how meaningful it is and what it means to me and what it means to you. And before we do that, I want to share one thing, what we're going to be doing next at Alliance Christian Center. So one thing we're going to do is we're going to build an addition on our building over here on the right side of the road. And I got a little picture of what it might look like to help you guys understand. You know, on Wednesday nights, we have a ministry to kids and youth, and we're trying to reach. It's an amazing night when you go there. I mean, every square inch of this building is used, and kids are running around. They're getting ministered to. They're learning about Jesus. And it's kids in our church. It's kids from the neighborhood. It's kids from all around, all different kinds. And I really appreciate, I mean, to me, I love that ministry. I love coming down here and just kind of walking around on Wednesday night and seeing what's going on. It's a beautiful thing, but we're really outgrown this building and even that building over there for the youth. So we're going to add on a little section over here. And the building is roughly the size of this auditorium, if you think about it. It's 40 feet by about 60 feet, which would be like just about this room. And it's going to have three classrooms and a little restroom right there, a little restroom and a janitor's closet over there. Stairway going upstairs. It'll be a two-story building. The upstairs will be one big open room. And so it'll help us for relieving the problems on Wednesday night, but we'll use it for other things. It can be Sunday school. It can be meeting rooms. It can be overflow room for a church dinner. You can go up there and do aerobics. I don't know what you want to do over there, but and there'll be basically a connecting hallway, just going off this hallway, a connection right into the other part. So plans are being finished right now as we speak, and probably starting that first in the spring, as soon as the weather kind of breaks. How can you help make that happen? One is pray. Just pray. Pray that God would help us. Volunteer. We'll have work days. You know what? Come down and work. Help us out. Because otherwise, it's going to be a bunch of old people down there. And you can give financially. If you want to give and help support that, just if you put money in the thing, just say it's for the building. And God has provided so much. We have a lot of, God has given us plenty of money to do the things we want to do. It's a very generous church. And but if you want to give, we'll certainly add to that. And we want to build this without any debt, and believe we will. So I'm excited about it, and look forward to being involved in that kind of a program again. So let's talk about the transition in pastoral leadership. I believe the time has come for that transition. I'm going to read from my notes here. I want to go through it pretty quickly. The reason why I'm reading from these notes is I'm going to give everybody this paper when you leave today. So everybody has exactly what I talked about. It. So if anybody asks you a question, pull the paper out. I say, what's going on? Here, read this here. So there's, I believe it's time for this change. And so in the not too distant future, not a date on it yet, sometime in 2026, Ted Orne, stand up, Ted. Ted Orne will become the next pastor of ACC. And Janet, would you stand, because behind every man is a better woman. Since June 5th of this year, I first began to meet with Ted, and I was beginning to share with him why I believe that he's the person God would have in store, or how God has been preparing him for that next season. And during those discussions, you know, Ted agreed to serve God in that way. And I was praising God for that. And the other thing that's really key and important is Janet is also on board. Wouldn't that be weird if Janet wasn't and Ted was? I shared it with our elders, and all the elders are on board. It's like, yeah, everybody felt like that was God. Ted and I will continue to meet every week throughout this process. And now we just simply want to share with the church family what is, you know, kind of where we're headed. That's why we're having this meeting today. This change will unfold gradually over the next several months. And then there will be a formal day. There will be a day when we'll say, hey, today we're going to ordain Ted. He's going to be the pastor. And that's when it will happen. I believe for most people here, this transition will be largely imperceptible. It'll be unnoticed. Why is that? Well, you see me for 30 minutes a week, standing right here. And that's probably all you'll miss. And maybe you won't even miss that too much. But, you know, our church functions so well with so many people who do things. I mean, if I was gone today, we'd still have church next week. We'd still have nursery. We still have a worship team. We still have Sunday school. We still have evangelism. It doesn't rise and fall on Kirk Martin, because Jesus is our shepherd. And if it does rise and fall on Kirk Martin, then we build on the wrong foundation. But I believe it'll be imperceptible. I hope it will be. And it really goes to all of you who serve to make our church what it is today. And many of the things a pastor does are behind the scenes. You know, you have this joke that pastor works an hour a week, but there's a lot of things they do behind the scenes, and those are things you never see. What led to this decision? I want you to know it wasn't an easy one, and it wasn't a quick one. I've kind of been going through the whole thing with my heels dug in, but I am at peace with it. I believe it really is the will of God, and it's being directed by Jesus. He's the shepherd. We do what he wants. It's the will of God. So as far back as 2019, so that's been 6 years ago, almost 6.5 years ago now, we had an elders meeting. I walked in the elders meeting that morning, and I had one question. I said, okay, today you got the news that Kirk was hit by the bus. What are you going to do? And I didn't say anything else in that meeting, but I let all the brothers kind of banter back and forth. And I was just kind of watching to see how would they handle the situation, what would take place. And it was really informative to me in that I realized we don't really have a good plan. We don't really have anything in place for if there was a, you know, a traumatic event, like Kirk gets hit by a bus. And through that meeting, we actually made some changes to our bylaws and what our plan would be going forward. But it just, you know, the thought of that has never left me. I just kept thinking, what are you trying to say, God? What are you doing? And in December of that year, December 2019, some of you know a man by the name of Ron Betts. Him and his wife, Sue, are oftentimes unable to come to church, physical limitations and stuff, but they're used of the Lord, and they hear from God. And one day, Ron, at the end of the service, came up. Again, this is in 2019, and he said, the Lord woke me up tonight from my sleep, and he said, tell Kirk that he needs to begin to mentor a successor. And obviously, I didn't act on that quickly. But I couldn't shake that. I was like, okay, what is it you're saying, Lord? What are you trying to do? And that word stayed with me all this time. And then periodically, in our elders' meetings, I'll just bring it up. You know, we'll talk about it and kind of wrestle with this idea. What's it even look like? And the big wrestling was with me. You know, it's the tension. I had this kind of a tension in my heart, which was, I don't want to retire. You know, I don't want to, I'm going to always work for the kingdom. And so there was that tension where I don't want to stop. But I also realized that if I keep doing what I am doing, that eventually I will get hit by the bus. So we had to make, you know, find some kind of a place in that tension to make a good plan for the church and to do what Jesus wants. Then in February 2023, a couple years ago, my good friend, Pastor Mike Ross, who used to be part of our church, and he was sent down to East Liverpool to start a church, has a great church there, he passed away suddenly. It was a traumatic event. You know, everything was, he was as healthy as any one of us. And by speaking of health, let me say to you, a question was asked to me, are you, like, do you have some secret health thing going on? There's nothing, you know, there's nothing going on, at least that I'm not aware of. I'm healthy until I go see a doctor. But Mike Ross, he just passed away. I mean, just like, boom, he was here and gone. And the church struggled. After that, it was a traumatic event, what happened. And you know, there was upheaval and there was, I don't know, just bad things happen. The church has since stabilized. It's in a good spot right now. But the aftermath of what happened there was sad to see. And so that was another way the Lord just began to just kind of gently impress upon me, hey, this is what, I mean, I don't think he used Mike, like did that to teach me a lesson, but I learned from it. It's like, this is kind of what happens if you don't prepare, if you're not ready. So I'm just kind of giving you some ways the Lord has been speaking to me. And then, you know, over the last, I would say since about 2020, God has really been doing work in my life and really changing my focus of ministry. You know, I feel very, very burdened for the Great Commission and evangelism and discipleship. And I think if you guys are around me that much, you see, it's almost impossible not to see that. And I feel that's a burden from the Lord. It's a growing desire to do it myself and to see others step into it. And so in a sense, I feel like I'm not retiring. I'm just shifting my focus. And I'm still going to continue to do everything I'm doing right now in a certain sense. I just won't make any decisions anymore. I began to see in the Bible, which was also a comforting thing to me, sort of a parallel, and I'm not trying to compare myself to the Apostle Paul, but I began to see this parallel where Paul and Barnabas were like founding leaders when they started the church at Antioch. They were like two of the foundational guys. They were teaching there, raising that church up. And then there came a time when it said in Acts 13, the Holy Spirit said, separate Paul and Barnabas for a different work. And you would think, man, why would God take a leader of a church and make him do something different? Because Jesus is the shepherd. He knows what we need to be doing. So the Holy Spirit directed all that. And one day they prayed and they laid their hands on Paul and Barnabas and they sent them out. And you know what? The church spread and multiplied like crazy through that ministry. But you know what else happened? And that is that Antioch was left in good hands. Antioch had a team of leaders that was there. Acts 13 mentions five guys, not just Paul and Barnabas, but five people who were leading that church. And then when they completed their mission, they came back to Antioch. Why? Because Antioch is their home. Antioch is their family. They were always connected. Antioch was their place. And they came back and they stayed for a long period of time. And it says there were many others who were teaching. So that church was thriving. It was growing. There were constantly new leaders being added. And Antioch was a great church. And I began to wonder, like, well, that's kind of neat, Lord. There's some parallels there where I was a founding pastor here. And now maybe God's shifting that focus. But there's other leaders here. There's other people. But you know what? ACC is always my home. ACC is my family. I believe the kingdom of God is all around the world and there's millions of Christians, but there's something special about your own church family. And this is who you are to me and to my wife and my family. Over the past year, probably in the last 6 months, I've had three different brothers, not part of our church, just people I know out there. They're actually pastors like me, similar age. And they ask me individually, separate times, what are you going to do? What's your plan? When are you retiring? What's your succession plan? You know, what are you doing? And I could never tell them. I said, I don't know. I don't know what the Lord's wanting to do. I told them, I don't feel like I want to retire. I don't want to stop. You know, I want to continue on. But yet, I believe, again, it was the Lord just using brothers who loved me and cared about me and just said, you need to be thinking about, you know, what's happening, what's going on. We all need people like this who will speak into our lives and, you know, give us reality checks from time to time. And then as late as last week, October 26th, I think that was the last Sunday, wasn't it? We have a great brother in our church called Greg Springer. I don't know how many of you know him. Wonderful man, a man of God. He's a prayer warrior. He's used by the Lord, I think, prophetically in many ways. And just a precious man. You should get to know him if you don't. He came to me last Sunday and he said, hey, I was praying for you, as he always does. He says, I have a word from the Lord I want to share. I said, yeah, go ahead. So he says, this is what I saw in the Spirit as I was praying for you. I saw a ring of fire all around your feet. This is the fire of my Spirit, says the Lord. You were wearing an anointed garment, one that's being changed. The Lord has taken this garment off and replacing it with a new anointed garment. With this change comes a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit's power, like in Acts 2. It will not just blow over you, but through you. This will remove the old and bring in the new anointing. And then the scripture, Isaiah 43:18, it says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? And, you know, Greg didn't know what was going on, you know, what was happening in my life, or even that we were going to be sharing this today. But, again, I felt like that was another way the Lord was saying, you're on the right path. You know, I just love the Lord that I kind of think about my life like this. because I don't always hear from the Lord. You guys think that I do, but I don't. You ever gone play bumper bowling? So that you roll the ball, but you know it's going to eventually hit down there. But I feel like the bumpers in my life are kind of like built this way. They're not like parallel, they're kind of built this way. So as I'm bouncing down there, I eventually hit exactly where the ball should go. It doesn't leave any room for error. But the bumpers are there. And I just see through these different ways here that God has just kept the bumpers. Keep moving, keep going this way. And that's really been a lot of the ways the Lord has led me in my entire life. So now we're going to have new leaders. And I want to share with you three things that we're doing to really bring support to the leadership base here. And this, I hope, will help the church even when one day Ted will be here sharing this same kind of a message. And then somebody after him, and then somebody after him. And that's just the way it is. One thing is, for so many years of our church life, we were very focused on the leadership ability of a person. And that's not unusual. I mean, I have an advantage that nobody else will ever have in this church. And that is, I was a founding pastor, and I've been here for many years. I have a lot of credibility, a lot of freedom. I can make a decision about this or that. And I'm saying that just because this is the truth. It takes a lot of humility to be that kind of a person. And I thank God for his grace in my life. It's enabled that to happen. But I also know that nobody else will have that unique place. And when I felt like God was telling us to, you know, move on to different leadership, the big question I have is, who's going to do that? Who can do that? Who can fill that role? And no one ever came to my mind. I kept thinking, man, who is it, Lord? And but I realized that it's not about the man. It's about the vision of the church. And so we're turning the focus or really refocusing our leadership around a common vision, not necessarily a person. You know, you ever see how it is even in our government? If you have a Democrat running the government, the country goes this way. If you have a Republican run the government, then it changes 4 years later. Then we're back to this, and then we're back to that. And who wants that kind of leadership? Rather than having leaders coming in here, this is my vision, this is what we should do, let's make a common vision for the church, which is the vision Jesus gave us. Let's be committed to what I shared with you guys last week, the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. It's very simple, but it's something that we can say together as a leadership team, this is our focus. So whether Kirk's leading the church or if Ted's leading the church or whoever's the next person, we're still committed to a common vision. And I hope that the DNA of that vision will be built into all of our hearts so that we as a church group, as a body, can say, this is who we are. It's what we do. So I think having that will remove the burden of everything falling onto one man's hands. At the same time, even though we have a shared vision, there has to be a leader among leaders. There has to be somebody that carries the voice, brings clarity, unity, and that's going to be Ted. He will lead the team with humility and grace, and the team around him are people that have been here for a long time, and they'll share the responsibility, but they're committed to a vision, common purpose. You say, well, Ted's never done this before. So what? Jesus is the shepherd. How many of you were a father before you had your first baby? Anybody? We all start something with zero experience, and that's okay. because the grace of God is what sustains us, and maturity is a function of time. It really is. I think about myself when I became a pastor of this church. If I had to ordain me today as I was then, when it happened? You just, you know, young, wet behind the ears, didn't know anything. But over time, because he's the shepherd, and I've learned to hear his voice, I've learned to follow, I've learned to, you know, be broken before him, and whatever else he's done in my life, I can't take credit for anything other than what Jesus has done. So any maturity that's in my life has really been a function of time. It's not because I'm a great man. It's a function of time and God's work in our lives. And that same thing will happen to any leader. And we have to have grace to help them. The other thing we're going to do is, we've begun this, we still do it now, I think, in a lot of ways in our church, but a culture of developing new leaders. So over the last year, we've spent Sunday mornings once a month with just next generation leaders, guys that are way younger than us, and trying to pour into them insights and things we've learned, and just trying to build them, because one day they're going to lead. And so we want to prepare them now. So build into them now. Build, you know, mentor them. Like Paul said, I will teach Timothy things you've learned from me, pass on to others who will pass them on to others. And that's a culture that we need to have in every ministry in our church. And so that's in place. And then the other thing we've done is we started a group. You know, Rayo is the guy, that old guy back there with a beard. I've known Rayo for like 51, almost 52 years. We got saved in the same church in Anchorage, Alaska, way back in 1974. And Rayo has walked with us all through our life, good times and bad, in Alaska and Colorado, and even coming here to be part of this team. And Rayo has been an elder here for many, many years. And earlier this year, Rayo said, hey, I'm going to be retiring from my job, and I want to step down as being an elder as well. Why is that? Does he stop loving people? No. I don't know why. I don't really know his reasons. I didn't really delve into that. I just said, Rayo, you do what you feel God wants you to do. But when he, and I understand that. I understand why he would do that. But at the same time, I'm saying, Lord, I don't want to lose the value of this man, because he has so much to give to your kingdom. And I don't think anybody ought to just retire and hang their cleats up and never serve God. That's not the goal of this life. The goal is that you, with your age, with your maturity, with your experience, become like a father, and you help others and you speak into the life. So I began to just study the word a little bit, and I began to see this principle that there are people who are called fathers. They're like, you know, Paul was a father to Timothy. In 1 John, he writes, I write to you fathers, I write to you young men, I write to you children. So I'm thinking, who are the fathers? There's fathers in this church who can speak into the life of the leadership, who can offer advice, prayer, support, just be there. So what I really see that we can have to support the leadership going forward is a group of guys who are leading, who are committed to a common vision, a pool of people that are growing and becoming leaders, and older guys who have some common sense and wisdom and years, just maturity, who can also speak into that. And I feel like that's really a great blessing we have here. So this group, we call it Brother to Brother. I've been calling it the Five Guys recently because it reminds me of the hamburgers. And there happens to be five of them. But I want to extend this invitation. If you're an older guy and you feel like you'd like to be part of this team, let me know. Because right now we have Steve Albert, Kurt Klingelhofer, Terry Landis, Mike Rosato, and Ray Osari, who are part of these five guys. They're the five guys. They're not a decision-making body. They're not doing anything. They're just praying. They're praying for the elders. The elders, they know if they run into a difficult situation, they need some insight. call these brothers. They're there to offer advice and counsel. So I think it's a great, I think of it like an Oreo sandwich. Cream in the middle. One cookie is the young guys. One cookie is the old guys. It's a great Oreo sandwich. That's what we're creating here. How's the process going to work during this transition period? I will continue as a pastor until Ted officially steps into that role. It won't be long. It'll be sometime here in the next number of months. And as I said, when the time comes, we'll lay hands on Ted and ordain him. I'm going to gradually turn over day-to-day responsibilities and decisions as Ted will assume more and more. You know, you might call me one day and say, what about this and that? I say, why don't you give Ted a call? It's stuff like that. You know, it's going to be, like I say, it'll be imperceptible. Run that by Ted, see what he thinks, that kind of a thing. As I said, I'll continue to meet. We'll meet together weekly. At some point, Ted's going to come and join the church staff. Some of that depends on his current job situation and what he can do there. But I'll be remaining on the staff here at some level for a period of time. Don't know where that ends up or how that's all going to work, but that's, again, the shepherd will guide. But all these matters related to work and compensation are going to be worked through the elders. And then one thing we will change, you will see, is we're going to transition the preaching schedule. So, you know, right now the preaching schedule is largely this. I preach twice and I have somebody help. Preach twice, then somebody. Preach twice. And it's great because we have a good group of people who can share the word. And they all have beautiful things to say. But what I'm going to do now is I'm going to have Ted speak at least once a month. So it's going to be Ted, me, another person, me. So I'll speak twice a month. Ted will speak once a month. And that'll bring stability because you're still hearing my voice as we change, but you're hearing Ted more and more. And eventually that'll shift a little bit. You know, you'll see that take place. But that's something that'll happen down the road. Once I step down as being the pastor, I'm not going to retire. What I'm going to be is the best member of Alliance Christian Center. You know, I'm going to be greeting people. I'm going to maybe bring my guitar, play on the worship team. I'm going to continue to go share the gospel like I do now. Develop a team that's doing that. I feel like God's really put together a great team of people that love to go out and share the gospel. I love that group of people, and we're going to continue to do that and hopefully expand on it. I will still reach out to, we have a group that meets on Wednesday night for newer believers, and I love that, discipleship of new believers. I'm going to continue to do that, and maybe even more of that, because I love it so much. Ruth and I are going to remain part of this church. We're not leaving. We're not going anywhere. This is our family. This is our home. You'll see me sitting right there every Sunday like I always do. I got my seat with my name on it like everybody else does around here. You can always look and see if someone's missing. Eh, Kirk's not here today. This is our family. We will continue to fellowship with people. We'll continue to build relationships. We'll continue to meet new people. To embrace them into our life. We will continue to reach out with hospitality, which is really a gift that my wife has to abundance, as we always have done. When we do the new building, I'll be over there with a hammer and whatever other tools I could use, Sawzall. I will continue to be part of the preaching rotation. And eventually, I'll probably not be an elder, but I'll become one of the five guys. And I don't want to be an elder because sometimes if I would be in the room, I think it would just be like a black hole. Everybody wants to know what I think, and it doesn't really matter anymore. It's what does Jesus want? So I'll just be one of the five guys. Why Ted? That's the question. When I met with Ted, I shared these are the reasons I believe that God is preparing you for this. One is Ted and Janet are both faithful to the Lord, and they have been for many, many years. They've been faithful to Jesus through good times and bad. When hard times came, they never wavered. Their commitment to the Lord never was in question. They just have always been steady and faithful. You need that in a shepherd. You need that in a pastor. You don't need somebody who's tossed about emotionally about things in life. We all go through problems. We all have difficult times, but you need a steady hand. And I think that they've been that in all the things they've gone through in life. Ted loves the Word of God. And you want that in a pastor. Somebody, if we're making decisions, we're making it based in Scripture. If we're preaching the Word, we're preaching from the Word of God. That's what we're going to have, and that's what he will do. And he's been committed to this church. You want that in a pastor, amen? Ted grew up as an engineer. Engineers have a way of thinking that isn't always good for churches. You know, they sometimes get really lost in the details and project-oriented. But in a church, you have to be more big-picture focused. You have to understand that there's a lot of things involved. And over the last period of time, Ted's been involved in helping to lead a company, and I really believe that's helped him, his focus, become more big-picture-oriented. You know, you got to think about not just my project here, but the employees and new sales, and how's the company? How are the interpersonal relationships? Are we making new customers? There's just a lot of things that take place when you're the leader of something rather than just functioning in it. And I think that has really helped Ted to grow, like as a man. And I think it'll help out in the church as well. You have to be a big picture person in a church, kind of like a general practitioner. You know, it's not about, you know, you got to care for the widows, you got to care for the babies, you got to care for the youth, you got to care for married couples, you got to care for the divorced people, you got to care for the lost people, you got to care for those who are beginning to struggle or stray, you got to care for marriages that are falling apart. There's just so many areas. You got to make sure the worship team's doing a good job. You got to, you know, there's just so many things, and you got to have that more of a big picture thinking, and I believe that God's done that in your life, Ted. The other thing I believe that's helped you grow is that you become president of the board down at the Alliance Pregnancy Center that's helped with collaborative leadership. You know, you're helping to guide a group of people to accomplish a mission, and that's really what you're doing. You're helping a group of people accomplish a mission, and having the collaborative ability in leadership is important. The other thing that really Ted is good at is he's able to relate to all age groups. You know, Ted, he can talk to old people. He can minister to kids. I mean, you saw the picture of him with that big wig on last week. He can minister to youth. The kids like him. If I walk over there, the kids don't like me. I just walk over there, it's kind of like, who's that guy, you know? But they like Ted. They love Ted. The kids, the youth. It's amazing that you have that broad appeal. And so I think that's really important, that someone like that could really, you know, every generation loves him. When we had our young guys group over here, and we went around one day, we were talking about discipleship, the importance of speaking into someone else's life. And I asked, we all went around and shared who was like an influential person in your life, and we all sort of shared a testimony. It was amazing to me how many of the people said that Ted was a person who has spoken into their life. He's had a discipling ministry toward many of the people that were in that group. And that was, again, informative to me. And praise God for that. Ted's a worshiper of God. You want that in a pastor. You don't want a pastor, when we're worshiping, they're just kind of like, when's this going to be over? I'm ready to preach, man. Get this part over. No, he's a worshiper of God. He loves Jesus. He's not ashamed of the gospel. He's not ashamed of Jesus. And then Ted and Janet are both extreme, extreme people of hospitality. And that's also important. And so I appreciate that about you both. I'm going to have Ted come and say a few words. Why don't you bring that microphone there so that we can... I don't want to rip this off my ear once I get it right on there.
I just want to just first say how humbled I am by all this and how awkward it feels to be sitting there with people talking about you. I kind of feel like I'm at my own funeral or something. But no, I'm really, really humbled by this, and I count it such a privilege to have this opportunity. I'm very excited about what God is doing in this congregation. I'm very excited to see what God will do with Kirk as he's freed from some of these burdens and able to do even more of the things that he's passionate about. And I think that's going to be an exciting thing for our city. I definitely see the parallel that God is moving him in more apostolic ways, and you know, for him to be released into that is a great thing. I'm not going to try to be another Kirk Martin because there is no way to replace a Kirk Martin, and so I will do my best to be who God is calling me to be, to be faithful to his calling, to his word, and to do everything I can to be obedient to that. So yeah, I'm excited about moving forward. I want to just be a man that fears God, that follows faithfully to his word and tries to hear his voice to help us all to fulfill the calling that God has for us in this time, in this place. So that's all I got.
Love you, Ted. Thank you. All right, I'm going to close this up now. And I want to reiterate that Ted will never be another me, and he shouldn't be. God made each of us unique. And so don't put that expectation there. He'll be better than me. As I said before, I do have the distinct advantage that no one else will ever have. This church should never center on the skills or personality of any one person. The church is and always must be about Jesus. It's his command. It's his mission. What really makes the church special is you, not Kirk Martin. You are what makes the church special. Each of you contributes something that makes us what we are, and if you're missing, we're less. We're less. Everybody contributes. And that can never be done by one person. So I, for one, just want to say to everybody here, thank you. Everybody who becomes a part of this fellowship of people adds something to the whole. And when you say, man, I love Alliance Christian Center, well, it's because you're there. That's really the reason why. As I mentioned, we are intentionally moving toward being a church focused on a mission. And those of you who call this home, our church is what it is because of you, in all honesty. So how can you help in the transition? One, pray. Just pray for the leadership. Pray for the church. Share accurate information. So you're going to get a piece of paper like this when you leave. If you want it, it'll be out there. You can read through it again. It should be maybe even available online. But make sure you're sharing accurate information. And work together as a community. We are committed to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, to love God, to love others, and make disciples. That's more than enough to keep us all busy until he returns. So I want to say, and I feel bad I'm reading this because it is from my heart, thank you for your faithfulness and your prayers and the love that you've shown to Ruth and me over the years, our family. Our lives have been very, very full because of you. Now, what does that mean? I'm going to be here next Sunday. I'm going to be here. And we're still going to have this. I'm just saying, as I'm making this transition in my life, I just want to say thanks for up until now. And I'm confident that as we move forward together, you and us, along with new leadership, that the Lord will continue to write a beautiful story through this community of believers. And I sign this with my greatest love and respect for you all, Kirk. Amen. God bless you guys.